Glory to God. Father, we just thank you so much that each one of us can start a revival anytime. And I praise you, Father, for lighting a fire under us to get the gospel out and to know that when we do go out there, wherever you lead us, Lord, or wherever you told us to go, that there will be the fire of God out there, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that when we lay our hands on the sick, they will recover. And Lord, we thank you that people will be delivered and brought into the kingdom in a mighty way. And Lord, I know it's a hard job over here in America where they got a doctor at every corner and a bank everywhere where we can go get money or go get help. People, you know, can do that. But Lord, when we trust in you, fire breaks out. We praise you, Lord, that we know that in the near future, this is going to happen because they won't be able to even trust the doctors anymore. They won't be able to go to the bank. And Father, we thank you that you are going to absolutely break revival out all over this country and the whole world. And Father, I ask that you get us ready. Because it's going to be time, it's going to be a glorious time, but it's going to be a hard working time for us. But it's going to be a glorious time because I can see the people getting set free already. Father, we just thank you that tonight you're going to be with us. We thank you, Father, for this open heaven that you've given us. Father, we just ask and we pray for your presence among us tonight in a mighty way. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters tonight. Be with them, lead them, guide them, set a watch before the lip to speak only as you would have them to speak. And we praise you, Father, for all that's accomplished in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request or would like prayer? How about a praise report? How about a testimony? How about a song from Jesus? Go ahead, Joe. I saw you raise your hand. Joe Britt.
I cannot have praise reports of the Lord today. It was so. I usually go and change tires. My car's the front wheel drive, so I changed my tires. I checked the wheel alignment, and afterwards, I put machines on the tires on four wheels, and then check what's something wrong. But mine was so accurate, but I didn't have to change anything. So the Lord saved me some money because our roads are so in a bad state of potholes, and so it's a miracle that's nothing wrong with the wheels or the tires. So the Lord saved me some money and it's showing me his presence today. So thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Whatever he said, Lord, I just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Praise hey, Joe, that's unheard of to put new tires on in South Africa and you don't have to do the wheel alignment. You always have to. There's so many speed bumps and potholes. You always have to do a wheel alignment, right? That's pretty cool.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Missy.
Well, first of all, my praise report is just something, you know, the Lord did for me and that I got to. Today is my oldest son's birthday, Matt, and he's 35, and I got to see Ryder. We did a video call. I hadn't seen him for like 2 months, though, and it was really good. It was, you know, it did these funny little characters that they put on your face on Duo, you know, and he looked at me, then he looked at his daddy like, what's that, you know, it was just cute, and And I hadn't seen Matt for a couple months either, or even talked. Well, actually, the last time I talked to him was real brief. is when he called me on my birthday back in March. But I just want to praise and thank the Lord that this evening I'm feeling pretty good. I feel more energized and strong and stronger, and my knees, I'm feeling pretty good. And I just praise and thank the Lord that it's healed and that I have no pain or no inflammation. And it's, I'm proclaiming that it's done, and it's a speedy recovery in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Ray and Jean.
It's a praise report. Many years ago, it was in 1998, the Lord gave Ray and myself a revelation in reference to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And as believers, we are forever proclaiming the sacrificial, life-giving, shed blood of our Lord and Savior. And so having the opportunity to celebrate what Passover means to us is such an honor and blessing. So since that revelation, Ray and I have been upholding Passover in a Christian way. And the reason I'm sharing this now is because tonight our dinner was centered around Passover. And tonight begins Passover. And the praise report is that we praise the Lord for who he is and who we are in him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yes, who we are in him is very important. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Ray and Jean. Mm-hmm. All right, Julie.
Everybody, God bless you. I have a prayer request. If you would all agree with me, for protection in my neighborhood, and specifically in my apartment complex where I live, we got notification that there was some break-ins into people's cars here over the weekend, and actually an intrusion, a break into somebody's unit, which is a little unsettling, but I know I'm protected. But I've just been, since I got that notification today, they sent out an email to all the tenants that this had happened and what they're doing about it, and that they're going to have a tenant meeting here in a few weeks with the local sheriffs. So anyhow, they're doing steps in the natural, what they need to do, and just reiterated rules around here and that kind of thing about being careful, not letting people into the facility that don't belong here, and, you know, allowing piggybacking in through the gates and stuff. So that said, Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus, be your host and mighty warrior angels to encamp around me, my apartment complex, and my neighbors. I pray blessings and peace and safety here where I live, where I work, where I walk, where I shop, and all these, the merchants and people's belongings. And just ask God that this increased, I won't call it vandalism, but just increased criminal activity in the area would come to a quick end, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will put an end to all of this real quickly, Father, that they are fearful. These people are fearful. And I pray for the people who are doing these break-ins and stealing and thieving, and Lord, that they would be caught, and by your grace, Lord, that they would be saved when they become incarcerated, Lord, and that they have a real fear of what they're doing, a real conviction of what they're doing is wrong. And I praise you, Father, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We put our faith together with Julie and counted us so. We thank you, Father, for your protection upon that. Just exactly what she prayed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon Julie. Jesus' name. Okay, Geneva. Okay. Look at that boy.
Well, it's a girl, but that's okay.
I knew it was. I was testing you.
That's funny. Yeah, Morgan said they all look like boys at first. But I just want to thank the Lord. Well, it sounds kind of mean, but it's not. Me and Morgan, you know, we had that little dog. We have two dogs, but we had a little dog, and we've had her for a while, and she makes a bunch of messes and stuff, and I haven't really had time to potty train her, and it was just kind of frustrating, like, waking up, and there always being messes and things, and we tried so hard outside and stuff, and it's just like, man, we did, like, thing after thing after thing. Anyways, finally, like, now that Mike is here, it's just, like, been a lot, so we pray that the Lord would help us find a good home for her, and we prayed that, and then seriously, I would say within the week, we found a dog agency that they take in like little rescues or whatever, and so we kind of told them our situation, like we just had a baby, and so the guy who owns it, I guess he really likes Basset Hounds, and that's what she was, and so he's taking her in, and so that like worked out perfectly, just because my heart felt kind of bad, like giving her up, because we love dogs, but you know, we love this baby more, obviously, by like 5 million. So anyways, so I just want to thank the Lord for finding her a good little home. And then I also want to ask for prayer for Morgan's brother's wife. She is pregnant. She's due any time, but she went to the doctor and they said that, they said, I don't know, doctors say some weird things, and they said that she, I guess the baby apparently is missing like a X chromosome or something of that sort, or Y, and basically they said that could be along the lines of like, in the category of like Down syndrome, and so when she told me that, I just immediately started praying. I said, in the name of Jesus, like, that baby is fine. She is completely healed, and she's going to come out perfect. I was like, I rebuke that evil report trying to be spoken over her. And, you know, so anyways, I just want to know if we could just pray. And, oh, sorry, I'm doing a bad job here. If we could just pray and be in agreement, you know, that when this baby's born, like, she is completely just a perfect child and there's no issues, and that she has a great delivery. Because I know she's been kind of struggling right now. So if we could just pray for that, that'd be great.
Okay. What's that baby's name?
They're going to name her Ember.
Ember?
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you that Ember is coming out perfect, and it's going to shut the mouths of the doctors. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. We thank you, Lord, that Ember is, we declare and decree that she's coming out normal. Matter of fact, she's going to come out with a brilliant mind. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for Amber and Mom and Dad, in Jesus' name. It's done, Geneva. It is done. It is done. That baby's coming out perfect.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be good. It's going to be great.
Amen. Perfect. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Glory to God. Okay, Rion and Claire.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
I would like to thank everyone for standing in faith with me on Wednesday, or Tuesday, whichever day it was for you that you listened to this or was on. You prayed for me and my back, and while we were on the prayer meeting, it was feeling better, and I just was like, oh, should I say something, or shouldn't I say something, or is it real? Because it's been quite long and it's been quite sore. And then I had some quiet time with the Lord afterwards and I thanked him for it. And then I opened my Bible by faith at random and I got Psalm 92, verse 1, which is, it is good to praise the Lord. So I would just like to thank you all and praise him for the quick healing in my back and my neck. I'm feeling great. And I would also like to add to the praise of Geneva for her sister-in-law. I just command the bad report null and void in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
No word curses spoken against that baby or that child will profit, and the word of the Lord does not return void. We thank God for a perfect baby with all the right chromosomes, and we thank God for increasing the mummy's faith and the dad's faith so that they know that they can stand on the promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yes, that's going to happen.
There's a story. I mean, this is a praise report as well, but it's an old one. But there's a family here in Tasmania as well, another homeschool family who had I think it was their third child. When she was pregnant with the boy, the doctors kept on telling her that she needs to abort the baby because all the scans and everything showed that he had no brain. Like, he literally had no brain inside. And they also just said, no, we're not going to accept it. We're going to have the baby's going to be perfectly healthy. Everything's going to be fine. And the doctors were just going, you know, you're mad. And they said, well, either way, like it's the Lord, right? They'll have this baby. This boy, he's, how old is he now? 17. He is a big, strong boy. He is smart. He runs. We go to the athletics day. Yeah, he wins everything. Kind, sweet. So he's got a brain, perfectly beautiful brain. Perfect. No issues. No health issues. He's never been sick his whole life. He's just, you know, incredible boy or young man now, I should say. He's that age already. So yeah, just don't accept those reports. It's lying nonsense.
And just yesterday, my stepmom spoke to me and told me that one of my childhood friends, she's 43 and she had her first child, but she's been involved in some stuff. And the doctors were saying, you know, because of your lifestyle choices or whatever, the baby's not going to come out normally and it's going to be a trial and the, you know, chances of survival are bad. 7 weeks later, this kid is perfect. She's breathing, she's drinking, she's thriving. I mean, who are these people to speak these bad reports? They're nothing but a trial, and we accept the trial joyfully, Lord, but we don't accept what they say. So be gone in the name of Jesus, all these harmful, destroying word curses.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
And they're often wrong and never in doubt.
Yep, often wrong. Glory to God. Well, they're the number one cause of death in the U.S. now today. Mistakes by doctors. Go ahead, Isaac.
I was just going to say that, kind of along Rhea and Claire and Geneva, you probably don't know this, but there's actually a brother that's in UBM. I won't mention his name just because, you know, if it's something he wanted to share, he'd share it himself, but I'll give the testimony. Doctor said the same thing about his son, that he's missing, or that he was going to be born missing a chromosome, right? It didn't happen at all. Just total functional and smart. You know, matter of fact, that child is like a 96th percentile in height and weight and everything. I mean, he's a little guy. I mean, he's young, but gosh, he feels like a bowling ball, and he is just so strong. So they're wrong, and you know they're going to be wrong again. So and I can explain more to you later, Geneva. That's a testimony you might share with them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy upon us all, Lord, not to believe anybody but you. Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
Sorry to disappoint you, Michael.
All right, Claire, that's fine.
Got a bit more words this morning than usual. I would like prayer for a person who lives in the town. This little family comes from mainland China. They've been in Australia a few years. And I just want to share two things. One, she says Australia is not different from China. I'm just going to leave it there. And number two, like her life experience, like how she goes through life and how she enjoys her lack of freedom. So
no, just think about that for a second. This is a person who grew up in Beijing, China. She's been there, all her family's there, everything. And she said she's been in Australia. How long has she been here now?
3 years.
3 years. And she goes, Australia is really no different to China. She says exactly the same.
So I just wanted to share that. The other thing is that she's obviously I shouldn't say obviously, but she doesn't know the Lord, right? But she's got an early childhood development certificate or whatever. So the Catholic school in the town snapped her up to teach their kids. And she's worried because her little boy is 4 and he's in kinder there or whatever. I don't actually know what they call it. I think they call it kinder. And she said to me, she's like, I'm really worried about my boy coming home and speaking about father. And she's like, he's learning a lot about your Christianity, she said to me. So I was like, oh, hang on. Not my Christianity. Like, that's Catholicism. I said, so if you've got to put them all together, you know, you've got Hinduism, you've got Buddhism, you've got Catholicism, and then you've got Christianity. Like, it's not really part of the faith. And she was so interested in that. And her husband's been involved with some kind of denomination, but he once stopped going, or didn't go to church one Sunday. And the church told him that he needs to have his mind renewed. He must come back every week. And he's like, oh, that's what they do in China. They call it brainwashing. So he never went back to church, right? So this is what the Lord literally, like these people just pitched up at my house yesterday, unannounced, like just to give a present to Daniel because they'd heard that there was, you know, a birthday or whatever. So we invited them in and not even a text. Like I didn't know they were coming. Anyway, my prayer is that she would like to talk about this more. And my prayer is that Father, the real Father, Father, would you orchestrate like you always do in your beautiful timing and in your miraculous provision and protection, that if Ivy and Reggie and their sweet boy Patrick need to hear the gospel and they need to hear it now, that Father, you would put it in their hearts to reach out to us and to come over for whatever it is that you would like them to come over for, Lord. And that we would have the words and we would have the hearts and we would have the mind of Christ through the washing of the water of the word to give them the truth and so that they would be able to receive it. And Father, I just pray against any confusion that that little boy and that mom experience while being in the Catholic environment. Father, I know there are beautiful, faithful Catholics who are just a little bit confused. And Lord, you know, my heart is not to judge, but my heart is to protect the ones that belong to you and to help bring your kingdom and your glory down. So Father, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus over this family, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe with her that it is going to happen. And we praise you, Father, that there's going to be fruit born here in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe if I just clarify, I see Sunil asked there just to clarify what she meant was, yes, they are both tyrannical in the sense that the government knows and controls so much of your life. It's very, very similar, and have a very subdued population that don't really even know that they are or, you know, how much control the government really has over them. So just in terms of freedom, that's what she was saying, that there's no real freedom in that sense. And especially they've been now through the Victoria lockdowns and things like that. And she's got friends in Shanghai and she goes, well, it's no different to what's happened in Victoria. You know, it's really one in the same.
Yeah. She came in with a mask on and she said to me, I know you're not vaccinated, but because I had told her that previously. She's like, but I'm going to keep my mask on to protect you. And I said, no, the Lord protects me. You don't need to have that mask on. And she kept it on for about 5 minutes, but she's got quite a strong accent. So I'm rich, right? Like, I've also got an accent. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's always different for the, which depending which ear is hearing it. So eventually I was like leaning over really like intently trying to hear what she was saying. And I think she realized that. So she took off her mask. And then at the end, I said to her, can I give you a hug? And she's like, yes. And so, you know, like I was just like, well, thank you, Lord, for breaking down boundaries. You know, like he just, where he is, there is freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. That's awesome. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, Claire, that, and Rion, that just blessed me. That really blessed me. I was thinking, and Father, I just want to pray that, Father, we know that no one can come to you except you draw them by the Holy Spirit, and you draw them through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, I believe you're already opening a door here. And I'm just praying that the door is going to be open wide. And Lord, that when you orchestrate and ordain things, it just, if you do all things well. So I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you're doing here. And that there's just going to be such an outpouring of grace and mercy and wisdom and just the love of Christ ministering through Claire and Rion. Not only to this couple, but everybody that you bring across their path. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then I also wanted to give a praise report. I asked for prayer on Tuesday night because they were forecasting all these really freezing temperatures in our area. And we had a bunch of snow on Monday. And even though we had a bunch of snow, though, it didn't freeze that day, but it weighted down the bushes, and because everything's leafed out, this is real unusual, the weather we've been having. But anyway, they were still forecasting scary temperatures, and our temperatures the last two nights have not gotten below 34. And so we are just so thankful. I just can't wait for... We've been getting a lot of moisture. I want it to dry out a little bit and be able to go out to the garden. And that's where the fruit trees are. And I'm believing that we're going to see everything is just in good shape. And Father, I just thank you and praise you so much for this. And I also just want to publicly repent on Monday when we had all that snow that came through. I was anxious. I was praying and I was confessing the word, but I was really being anxious and double-minded. And the Holy Spirit just ministered to me and gave me the grace to just say, I don't receive any of this. I'm just going to rest. And so, the Lord removed all that anxiety and worry and just heaviness about the weather. And I'm very, 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 very thankful. I'm thankful for the trial. Our Father does all things well. Amen.
I'm muted. All right. Thank you, fathers. No, she's going to have a bumper crop this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Carol wants us to pray for our 87-year-old dad. She says, who has COVID. Well, we cast down the COVID symptoms. We cast down all of the symptoms that have come upon her dad, and we command them to go from him in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for complete healing in his body right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that your angels be in there, protect him from the the hospital and the staff, if they're one of those that does all that nasty stuff to him. And we praise you, Father, that he is protected and he's coming out of that hospital well, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, that her dad is completely healed of this malady they call COVID. And we thank you, Father, that he's going to show and have the testimony and the praise report. Thank you, Lord, for doing that through him right now, purifying his blood, purifying his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Now, Dad, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, we believe it. Everybody believe it? Thank you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
I just want to pray for Rihanna there as well for that. I have a heart for the Chinese people as well. We, my wife used to, back in our old church, used to teach English as a second language. And the Chinese and the majority of the people that she taught were Chinese. They were over here at the University of Pennsylvania, etc. And it was an interesting experience in more than one way. We went over a few times for dinner, and I must say they eat some very strange things, but we got through that process anyway. But let me just put it this way: any part of the animal available can probably be eaten by them in some form or another. But anyway, that wasn't what I wanted to say. But they are such a normally humble demeanor of a society, and they truly, we used to have them over to our place once a week, and we talk with the families, and they really do not understand. One of their questions was, why do we Americans think so much of freedom? And I really, because they didn't see it as that big of a deal, you know, and I just, and so anyway, just it's a whole different frame of mindset and everything. But Father, I thank you, Lord, that no matter what part of the world we come from, the part that that really attracts people to you is the light that you give. Your light of truth and life and potential and hope. And Father, that's permeates Rihanna and Claire. And that light is there shining forth into to be observed there by these people. And Lord, we just trust you to do with that light what you want, and to place it questions or through their observations or questions that they may have, Lord, that you lead the conversation, and you bring them along whatever way they need to come and whatever path they need to come. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide for Claire and Rihanna exactly what they need. You'll give them exactly what they have to say, and they'll be led by your Spirit. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the blessing that you're bringing into our life, and with all the different people that are coming into our lives on a daily basis. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless this particular situation in this meeting, and let it be fruitful in Jesus' name. Well, I had a question. I guess it's a prayer request, but it's based upon, I think in Philadelphia, they are going to start the mask mandate again on the 18th, which, and that's for anybody inside any kind of building. You have to have a mask on or whatever. So number one, I never go to Philadelphia anyway, so I could really kind of care less in a way. But I'm wondering if the Lord would have us to push back or to pray for a rising. I mean, obviously that is a totalitarian, you know, breach of power, you know, overreach of power, especially in a nation of freedom, you know, where we have guaranteed rights, etc. But they have no law, they have nothing, no basis for the mandate other than the fact that they're the boss and they're mandating it. So I don't know if it's, again, in one sense, I could care less. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, does the Lord want us to pray specifically against that for a rise up of people? People need to be awake in more ways than one. But it is, you know, I guess I'm questioning, does the Lord, does he want me to respond to this in some positive fashion, rebuking the situation or, you know, asking him to raise up people against the government, not in rebellion, but more in questioning, such as, you know, number one, by what right or law do you, are you making this mandate, number one? Number two, is there any proof? Can you give us some sort of scientific proof that masks actually work? You know, what's the scientific proof? I'm just wondering if God wants, you know, wants people to start pushing back against the darkness. So I guess that's a prayer request for me to know how to respond to that situation. The other thing is I've been seeing in the last few days, at least for myself, and that is, I know I went through an experience here just, you know, a couple of weeks ago or whatever, seeing there's, again, the comparison, the confusion and hesitation in my own mind to do something based upon a confusion of, you know, specific truths in my mind. I would like prayer for myself related to prayer in order to, I guess, free up or provide, how can I say this? I from a certain standpoint, you know, obviously we know God is sovereign and he set a plan of action into place, and things are going to happen according to what God is guiding and leading us into. So I guess I want to be completely clear on what part prayer, my prayer, our prayer, provides in this scenario. Maybe there's a lack of clarity there in my own mind as to, I mean, sometimes you feel like, well, God's going to take care of it, or this, it's best that this particular procedure, you know, or thing, situation plays out, you know, maybe God's got a plan in this. And so there's a tendency in me to just be passive and let things be as they will be, which is why I raised the question about, you know, should I be praying about pushing back for this mandate that's coming in, or should I just, you know, let it go, knowing that God has a purpose for it. So my prayer request, I guess, for myself is there a clarity that I need to be standing on? Or better yet, Lord, would you provide me the clarity I need to stand in strength in prayer and my responsibility and privilege, quite frankly, to pray and request of the Lord. Does any of that make sense, by the way?
Yeah, that makes sense. Sure did.
So that's my prayer request.
Okay. What I would suggest is that you pray for the brothers and sisters in that area. Did they specify why they're doing it?
Not that I know of. Well, yes, I guess there's been two cases of COVID in the last week. So they're gonna
two?
Mandate, they're gonna yeah, two. Two.
Oh my goodness.
So how many kept
the whole state down?
How many cases of the flu did they have? None. They didn't have any of those because it's all COVID now, you know. But anyway, no, I think it's just it's a governmental overreach of their authority, you know. But you know, we went through. I'm sorry.
This was the mayor that did this.
I think it probably was, or city council, or something. I don't know.
Okay, let's see. Go ahead, Greg. You had an answer.
I did. And sorry, there's a few COVID jokes got in the chat, but I'll stop that. Yeah. Try and stop that. Sorry. Yeah, look, I put it in the chat. I generally find the smartest thing to do, is when you don't know what to pray, I'm not sure how to pray, ask God what to pray. And let him tell you what to pray. It's, you know, because for some reason he wants us to pray. I don't get that. But we declare things, in my mind, when we're doing it, we stand on the sapphire sea, you know, the glassy sea, and declare the will of God. I think it behooves us, having been given that magnificent authority or you know, position, to ask the, you know, the authority giver what he would like us to do with it.
Amen. Well, you understand why he wants us to pray, is because we're the body. He works through us to do that. And the only way that we have to do that is using our hands, our feet, and our mouth, and our, you know, all of that. But anyway, we're going to find out some more here. Geneva, you got an answer.
Jesus. we all knew that one. But I forgot to say that I wanted to thank the Lord, because I know a few weeks back we prayed for my leg because it was numb, and it had been numb for like a month. Anyways, after we said that prayer, I was like, Lord, I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm not going to keep touching it, because if it's healed, it's healed. And when the time comes, you'll tell me, you'll remind me. And so, anyways, I left alone. I didn't think any more about it. And one day I was doing something, I don't know. And anyways, it hit my leg and I was like, ow. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. Like, I had feeling in it again. So the feeling has come back, and my leg's back to normal. Thank the Lord. And I've been going for runs, which is nice. So anyways, I just wanted to tell you all that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, Rhea or Claire or Daniel or Mika or Tabitha.
Now, I've got a prayer request, I suppose, same as what Pat is talking about. I understand exactly what you're going through, Pat, like in terms of, you know, thinking about this. How do we respond to it? Do we want to And this is with regards to mask mandates, because we've had these mask mandates at work as well, going on for a while. And I think I told you guys where it was mandated by the government to wear masks, and then they go, okay, well, that's okay. It's the authorities that's been put in place, Romans 13, you know, we're not going to be rebellious and we'll just do it. Before that, the mine that I work at didn't mandate the mask at all. They didn't even consider it. So then the mandates came, we wore the masks, and then the government mandates got lifted. So we no longer needed to wear it. But the mine management then decided we're going to continue wearing masks. And that's where it became a real struggle for me. I'm like, why? Like, what is this based on? We didn't do it before. Anyways, so they said, oh, they'll leave it on for like a week or so, and then we'll consider it again. And that came and went. They said, oh, 28th of March, we'll finish it then. And that came and went. I said, no, we're going to continue, because there was all these cases that broke out and everybody's sick and absent. But the people are absent because the government's definition of a close contact, if you're a close contact with someone, you have to isolate for 7 days. Where what we're looking at is that if someone does get COVID, yeah, they're only sick like for a day or two, they could be back to work. So the absenteeism is not because of COVID, it's because of the government's definition of a close contact. Anyways, so I have a personal struggle, and I don't know if Edwin is on here as well, because I chatted to him as well about it, and I think he's handling it a lot better than me. Because there's this, sometimes this thing arises up in me, and it must be rebellion, because I just want to go, no, I'm just not going to wear my mask. And I'm just going to say, no, you can't do it. And I go, well, that's, Romans 13 does not just apply to the government, right? It applies to the authorities that's been put in place at my workplace as well. So I have to comply with that as well. I asked the Lord if I should send on, there's on the Great Barrington Declaration, there's a list of 167 studies that's been done that show masks are ineffective. And I asked the Lord if I should send that on to our manager, because, you know, I'm in a difficult position, because I put together all the data and the reports and things, and Edwin helped me with that, on the impact of COVID that this absenteeism has on the mind. So he comes to me all the time and he's asking me, oh, you know, how can we show it differently? How can we show that? And the Lord just shuts my mouth many, many times, which I'm grateful for, because otherwise I get in trouble. But I have often told him the biggest problem we have here is that we should stop testing. If you stop testing people, because we do these RAT tests, these rapid antigen tests, when your first day and your third day back from your break, I said, if we stop the testing, there'll be less people off, because every time they test positive, they're off, even if they're sick or not. I said, we should just, anyways. So I have this internal battle on should I speak up, should I say something? But if I ask the Lord if I should speak to him and send him those declarations, then the Lord told me no. I was like, okay, so clearly he doesn't want me to do that. He wants us to pray, and I think that's what you said. The Lord wants us to pray. He doesn't want us to rise up, rebel. He doesn't want me to put a poster up or walk around chanting outside the offices saying masks are bad, you know, me alone there with maybe one or two other people. So that's kind of what I spoke to Edwin about as well. Edwin's the same. He's like, well, you know, if they're not asking us to, like the three brothers, or the three friends, sorry, they're not asking us to deny our faith, and for that we will happily not comply and be thrown into the furnace. But till then, they're saying that we should. So my prayer request, oh, sorry, that's a long story. My prayer request is that you pray for me to just have wisdom and patience, and that I don't do anything silly, and that I would ask the Lord's will. And that's also that the management here would come to their senses and just stop this nonsense of masks and testing. That's ultimately got to do, because people are, if they do get sick, they're sick for a day or two and they can come back to work. It'll actually do us better here at the mine in terms of production and everything if we just do that. So that's my prayer request. That would make sense.
Amen. That's wisdom. One thing that I'm kind of like you, Brian. I'm struggling with masks, and the thing that I would ask them is, do you have any, like you said, do you have any studies that say that the mask or any kind of a help at all, when in fact we've seen studies after studies after studies and that they are a hindrance more than a help. But that's just okay. I don't know who was first. Go ahead, Ray and June. I'll get right to you, Michelle.
Okay. It's interesting because before we unspoke, I was thinking in terms of past requests for prayer, and the word wisdom came to me, which you have spoken of, Rian. And so the prayer is actually for both of you. As we're known to pray and ask for wisdom, he gives liberally. And what the Lord is going to give to both of you, which we all need, of course, is you're going to have the clarity when you're to have peace if it's a matter of praying. But if it's a matter of praying, but it goes beyond that as far as something that he's asking of you, you're going to not have peace. You're going to know, I'm praying. He's pleased with my prayer, but yet he's asking something else of me. I'm speaking for myself because that's how it works for me. Hopefully all the time, but definitely most of the time.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jude. Go ahead, Michelle.
All right. I think I can really relate with Pat's question. I mean, the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned, is insanity that we've been dealing with. There's no good science behind most all of it. And like, I have a few thoughts here to kind of parse through a little bit, but like, you know, we've got the Lord. So I think like a lot of you that like we're in the end times, wherever that is, sorrows, tribulation, whatever. I don't know for sure, but I know that we're in that the morning of the third day. It's obvious. And, you know, God is like, I believe. And, you know, that tension between like God is allowing this, you know, it says that God is behind these events, and he's looking into eternity. He's looking at souls, and yeah, you know, we're about comfort and things being good, like in America specifically, but God is about souls. And like even in prayer, just I can really relate. I appreciate what you were just saying about wisdom. Like, Father, how do I pray? I find like praying in the spirit is all I can do, because it's like, this is so crazy. And my flesh, of course, wants to just pray all mandates go away and everything. And they should, I think, you know, but his ways are so much higher. His thoughts are so much higher. And so I just want to be able to partner with him in what he's doing in the earth in this hour. And so I often I don't have a lot of clarity even on how to pray. I know, like with what do I do? Like shouldn't I do something? Shouldn't I stand up? Like with some of these, I could go on and on with things that grieve my heart, that's happening, like not even allowing loved ones, you know, in to see people in the hospital. And so I'm in mental health, and I'm like, shouldn't I get a group of people together, a mental health therapist, to talk about how important it is that we have connection with people in times like these? And, but like, for me personally, in terms of like, what do I do? The Lord's really like just brought me back to, I lose my peace when I get into that kind of thinking. And so I have just felt like he said, you know, it's really go up higher than that, Michelle, like go up higher. Don't engage all of that battle there. So that has been clear, the answer for me. But with the prayer, I'm just left praying in the spirit, because I don't know if that makes sense, but just all those competing there's God's doing his thing, and but this is wrong. And thank God I'm in Florida. Thank God I'm in Florida. That's all I have to say. I'm just so thankful for that, because I really feel for those of you that are in states where you've been under more oppression, and I don't know, Australia, if Claire and her husband, or New Zealand, where you guys are from, but my heart really goes out to you all. Yeah, so that's all. Thanks.
Amen. Oh, yeah, you do have a governor down there that's got a little bit of sense. And he's doing some right things. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I agree. When you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. Ask the Lord to pray through you for those situations. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
Long suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's supposed to increase our comfort, because this is what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If these apostles went through some long suffering, that we can still benefit through their sufferings and our comfort too. So, you know, you got to really look closely at some of the wording there. But, you know, you don't really think of long suffering too much as one of the fruits of the Spirit. So you got to think on how that's going to benefit you, and how that's going to harden you to the flesh. And that said, you know, there is the Romans 13 where it says you have to obey even a mayor, and you have to obey your boss. I used to work for a place, a university, where the student's right. You don't have the same say as he does. And that's something I had to learn in the first few years that I started working there, that if it's a toss-up between you, an employee of the university, or one of the university students, hands down, he's going to be the one who wins. Because he's the boss. He's paying to come here. We're paying you to serve him. So I kind of look at it at the same way. We were paid for, so we don't work for ourselves. we're fully employed. It's fully employed down here, and the employment is to operate in those gifts of the Spirit. And I don't think they were standing out the Colosseum there in Rome with signs, "Let the Christians go." So you can just think of it in that sort of demeanor. And anyway, if they did do that, then they would be the next show, you know, in the movie theater there. So I don't think you really wanted to make yourself known as a Christian back then. But then again, some of them were brave enough to go and ask Pilate for the body of Jesus. Someone had to do that, you know. Everyone that was martyred there, you know, someone had to go and say, "Can we have the body now to bury the body or do something?" You know? And that had to be a pretty brave thing to do. They would know you're a Christian, and you can be next week's entertainment. So, I was just remembering that Perpetua, someone had to go claim her body, but even though her parents were of noble descent, of a hierarchy, that could have been a way out for them too, because she was from a very wealthy family. And so it's the long suffering, you know. And that said, you know, I hope that helps a little bit, because it's a hard call. You really want to be on side with the Lord when you pray. Praise God.
Amen. That's right, Andrew. That long suffering, we'd like to skip over that one, but it's part of it. Amen, Rhea. Prayer and patience. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
So I was thinking of that. I can't remember what scripture it was. Maybe somebody will remember it and pop it in the chat. But so remember the scripture that says, pray for those in authority that it goes well with you, paraphrased. So I guess I'm thinking, you know, the Lord wants us to be subject to the rulers. Because we are subject to him and his higher authority. But when that ruler goes contrary to God in whatever direction that the Lord would show you, he wants, I keep going back to the Hebrew children, three Hebrew children getting ready to get tossed in the fire. They were submissive to the king, the government. They were, they were also obedient to God. And at some point, those two things clashed, and they got called on the carpet. And they truly, you know, when the king said, listen, you guys better bow down when you hear the music, they didn't lift up their fists in rebellion and say, look, big boy, we serve a big God here, and, you know, you take orders from him. No, they were submissive and obedient to the rules of the kingdom. The rules of the kingdom at that time were you bow down to the music and worship this golden image here. Those were the rules. And so in their obedience to God, they refused to do that. And yet they were not in rebellion, because they were willing and knew full well what the consequences were and willingly accepted those consequences in fulfillment of the law, in obedience and compliance to the law. And in doing so, humbled themselves before God and trusted him with their salvation, and obviously everybody knows the story. So in the light of that, I look at these mandates, and of course, the Lord isn't calling me to, you know, like Rion says, grab a poster and head on down to City Hall and start, you know, picketing the streets down there and protesting or whatever. I don't doubt that one day in some form or fashion, God will have us be crucified on that hill, but not, I think there's bigger fish to fry at this particular juncture. But that being said, that is my question. Is there something God wants us to do in obedience to him and turn the hearts of those kings and change the tide and bring God into the situation and allow God his right to put his stopping point up there, say, no, you can't do this or whatever. So these are the questions that I kind of struggle over and related to that. I don't think it's as much as a rebellion. I mean, I look at people like walking out on the street or in the parking lot or working I'm doing a job in a retail outlet right now. And so I walked through and like half of the people that are in the store are wearing masks. And then they'll walk outside, you know, be walking across the parking lot, and they're wearing masks outside. And probably the same people that get in their car and they're driving home with their mask on. I'm thinking, come on, what are you afraid you're going to make yourself sick or what, you know? I mean, it's just at some point you want to grab people and shake them and say, wake up. I mean, what are you? Get a brain, you know, start thinking for yourself, you know, I mean, read a book or do something, man. But again, people are motivated and pushed by fear. And that's how people are functioning. And sometimes it gets a little discouraging, but anyway, I don't mean to ramble. So I guess that's a point that I'm struggling with is, you know, is it time? Does God want me to push back on this in prayer, you know, to pull these strongholds down, to reveal the stupidity and the overbearing totalitarianism of this whole process or what? Again, people's eyes need to be opened, you know. Society needs to wake up as to what's happening. At some day, they probably will. But it's my hope that people wake up, you know, before we're all in behind prison bars, you know, that sort of thing. So anyway, I'm through rambling.
Well, the thing we have to look at is it saying anywhere in the Word of God in the New Testament that thou shalt not wear a mask, thou shalt not take the vaccine, that, you know, all of those things. And no, it doesn't. We are to do everything that the government tells us, except when it comes to your natural body. When they start harming people like they have with the vaccine, we can start praying against that, of course. The masks, I don't know, I'm laying down here in Tennessee. We hadn't had mask mandate, gosh, I don't know, middle of last year. And we still got people, like you said, running around in their cars, nobody in the car with them, with a stupid mask on. You know, you got, I'm like you, you know. What, you know, what are you, who are you, what, you know, you, you don't know how to answer it. You know, it's just, yeah, these people are not woke. But having said that, people are getting, are beginning to wake up and they understand it. This thing with the vaccines is busted wide open all over with the Watch the Water documentary, where they're putting snake venom in our water and the vaccines and what is that stuff called? Remdesivir that they use to...
Remdesivir.
Yeah, that one. But yeah, Remdesivir. And it's what it is, it's depopulation. And of course we can pray against that. And they need Jesus, that's right, Missy. All right, David, go ahead. David's got the answer, y'all. Here we go.
No, I was just thinking we should just pray that God send us a prophet or his prophecy of what to do in these times, or the man child, either one. So we got that leadership to guide us through these things, because we want to walk with what the Lord has in mind. You know, we want to do what the Lord wants us to do. Because I did read here today in Jeremiah 52, where the Lord took me, and it was about where Nebuchadnezzar came in and he besieged the city of Jerusalem, and Zedekiah was surrounded, and they broke through the wall eventually after about the seventh month, because they were running out of food, and they ran out trying to get away from Babylonians. The Babylonians captured them, took Zedekiah to Babylon with his with the people that were escaping, and he took for judgment, he took his sons in front of him and killed his sons, and then plucked his eyes out, and there he had to die in prison. All because Zedekiah was being rebellious against Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah warned him not to be rebellious against Nebuchadnezzar. All right. But he gave, at the same time, they gave, what's this guy's name? The king, he gave the king of Judah, Jeconiah, he gave him mercy. But it was after like 20 some odd years in prison, he still gave him mercy. So, and he brought him out of prison and treated him well. So, I mean, depending upon what the Lord's doing with the church today and how he's trying to get them prepared for these days, we got to be cooperative with that, unfortunately, and make sure that that's our flesh not rising up, causing us to bring more, you know, more problems on us from the Lord. So we want to have the Lord's wisdom on this stuff. That's for sure. As much as I hate it myself, and I'm up front. I never wore a mask, hardly ever, at the post office. Because they would say, well, if you work within 6 feet of each other, you don't have to wear a mask. So I never did wear a mask, period. But there were those that were just max Nazis, and you come near them and they would be, where's your mask? You know, and that would just get under your skin. And you know darn well there's not a problem. And those are the ones that are fully vaccinated. And now I'm starting to see people with problems with the vaccine little by little, you know. So, again, let's just ask the Lord that he send a prophetic answer or a prophet our way, that all the church that have the ears to hear can hear, and open our ears, Lord, so we can hear you clearly, and we don't let anything hinder that, what we're going to hear, or ask for that man child to show up finally, so we can start getting leadership that we need. So, Father, thank you. You've heard what I said, and that's what we desire from you. We want to be in lockstep, walking correctly with you, whatever you want during these days. And we know that this possibly could be the beginning of the tribulation, where we're walking and waiting for all these revelations to come out to let us know. In the meantime, Lord, we're asking you for this clear, concise direction. And we'll wait on you for the answer, because we're going to patiently know that you're going to hear and answer for what we need to hear. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? What if, I'm going to throw this out there, what if they come up with another vaccine and another vaccine and another vaccine, and people keep on taking these vaccines and they finally get one that's the mark? Because that looks to me as if that's where they're headed with this thing. So I ain't taking it. Lord said, do not kill. I saw a deal today where the guy's name is a doctor, said that over 100,000 soldiers have died because of the vaccine. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but even if it's somewhere near that, you know, that's evil stuff. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say that whatever the mark of the beast is, we know it's going to be some kind of a mark, physical. But first, it's, you know, we all know that the people that are going to receive the mark anyways are already ready. They've received it in their mind. They've already given themselves over to it, or they're going to give themselves over to it anyways, because it's first the mind agrees and the hand is the work. So, but we will know, and this, again, let's pray for that discernment. But we should know, the Lord's going to let us know, this is it. The people of God will know, this is what you're doing. You're taking a mark of the beast, and you are forfeiting your salvation at this point, because you're going in lockstep with the world and Satan. You are not walking my walk the way I want you to walk. You're not trusting me. You're trusting the world for your salvation. And so, that will be a undoubtable event that all that are of God will know. And again, let's pray for that. And I'm understanding this is going to be around mid-trip or so, right? So, Father, you know, again, make it clear. Let us know. This is it. You take this, it's over. There's no excuse that anybody... There's no lukewarmness on this. There's a right and wrong answer, black and white, and all should know this. At least you're chosen, so that they make the right decision. And they know that by that time, you've brought your people in the wilderness. You've trained them. They have a heart for knowledge. They have a heart for you. They have a heart for following all your ways and doing what you say. And they're not going to have a problem saying no to this. And the ones that do were never yours. Thank you, Father, for giving us that, that grace to come in, that mercy to speak kindly to us, to bring us in through this process, to get us prepared for these days. Amen.
It's going to be faith that keeps you from going up there, because you're not believing in the doctors anyway. You're believing in God for everything. That's why the first 3.5 years is for faith, to build up the faith of God's people, to believe him for everything. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be walking and showing people, yes, God's vaccine is good. That's the only vaccine that works 100% of the time. Missy, I guess it's you next.
No, my thought is anyone that... any believers that has taken the jab already and don't repent of having taken it and realizing they should have trusted in the Lord, they'll just continue on. And it's got to be faith. They gotta come to the faith. If you come to the faith, that means you're repentant. You got to come to the faith and believe that the Lord is your protection. You don't need to use the ways of the world, the ways of man, you know, because it brings nothing like a curse. I mean, this is a perfect example. Cursed is a man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. You know, this perfect example of that, because people that are taking it are being, they're cursed, except for, make a disclaimer, except for the ones that we've prayed for. But I believe even those that we've prayed for that have gotten it and they haven't had any ill effects, the Lord will give them such a realization that he was protecting them, and that, you know, they need to repent. they had the Lord's protection on them, and they can't take it for granted. They can't take it for granted for 1 minute. That, okay, he protected me this time, he'll continue to protect me. No, once you come to the knowledge of the truth, you know, to him that knows good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, you know. So, amen.
And that's trusting God for all. Go ahead, Andrew.
So I'm kind of wondering whether or not we should pray for, pray to God that they don't trick us in the medical profession to use as a force to trick us into getting the mark. Because in the Bible, it doesn't say that he's going to use the medical profession to trick us to take the mark of the beast. He's going to, they're going to have to explain exactly what they're trying to give us. And they don't really explain that, you see. So I would say that perhaps that would be a good prayer to pray to God that it be straightforward, that we see this straightforward and that there'd be no trick in it, using the hospitals as a means to trick people to take the mark of the beast. Because that would function in a lot of different ways, that prayer, because it's still in God's hands. You know what I mean? Because if we're praying that they don't use the medical profession to put in this mark, then it won't happen. You see, there'll be clarity on it. The Lord has to make it known to the person what this is, what this is that's coming in the future, that this device will be used for. It's pretty scary to think of it.
Well, wait just a minute. Let's talk about that just a minute, if we can, Andrew. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to point out one thing: what the tribulation is for. The tribulation is to build God's kingdom through faith. And when you build God's kingdom through faith, you don't use anything but God. And that's what he's given us, 3.5 years to walk in that faith. The faith of God. And we show that by our actions and by our walk. And I understand that you're talking about people that are just coming in, but that's what we do as believers and in the bride. We walk that out. We don't even think about going to hospitals or doctors to save us. Amen. We utilize God's promises as our, you know, what we do.
Yeah, but I just don't want people to be tricked. That's all.
Yeah, I understand. But the way they're tricked is not reading and studying the Word of God. Yeah. You know, and I grieve for these people that are taking the vaccines. I've had family members that I've told them, I said, don't take the stuff. It is poison. And they took it anyway. And, you know, and they have to deal with the consequences because of it. You know, everybody here knows what happens when you talk to family members that are not believers. Let me put it that way, believers. They look at you like you're some kind of nutcase, because God gave us these doctors, you know. Well, what verse is that? They hadn't heard the real good news. Yeah, that's right, Jimmy. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm through.
It's just exactly the opposite. If you're going to go to philosophy is the study of, it's actually agape love, but it's the study of the knowledge and wisdom of man. And that's everything he took from kindergarten to university. It's a philosophy. It's a philosophy of physics, a philosophy of chemistry, whatever it is, you know. So I understand that in the early years of school, you got to learn how to read. God wants you to learn how to read, maybe to count. But the rest of the stuff here is a philosophy, and it's the originally the love of knowledge and wisdom, and that's an agape love. This is why some people get Nobel Prizes, because they love physics, whatever their field is. And some people really love their job, more so much so. You can tell that it's an obedient desire for them. You know, they're highly academic people, you know, and they're hard to talk to.
Do you understand that they only believe that there's a two-part man, a body and a soul? They don't believe in the three-part man, a body, soul, and a spirit.
Yeah.
And that's where they miss it. Yeah, that's doctors the same way, psychologists the same way, sociologists the same way, all of them. They just believe in a two-part man. Okay, Andrew, go ahead. Keep on. If you got something else to say, I'll be fine.
No, that was, there's Colossians chapter 2 there. It's a good review too for all those other negative attributes that a man has who doesn't have the spirit. Christ's spirit in them. Like there's the philosophy, there's the vain deceit, there's the traditions of men, and there's the elements of the world, and there's volunteer humility, and there's worship of angels. Of course, these angels are idols, okay, and how they're written of in there. So I'm not talking about our good angels that we have, okay. Praise God.
Amen. I don't know who was next. Isaac.
Okay. Got you guys. real quick. Man, I had a dream some months ago about the mark of the beast. And I was by the Tennessee River, and there was a liquor bottle there. And this liquor bottle, I seen it had a title on it, and it had numbers, and it formed like a cross. It's a cross, right? And it was, it said 6-6, and I was looking at the liquor bottle, and a man came to me and said, "You see that?" And I say, "See what?" He goes, "Look closer." And then there was a hidden six in there. Couldn't even see it unless you had, you know, discernment. And it was 666 on this liquor bottle. And so I say this. I'm pretty convinced it's going to be very subtle. People aren't going to know it. It's not going to be like this big 666 on your forehead. And granted, we get the mind of the beast. We get that the words of the beast. I understand. But I doubt it's just going to be this blatant thing where everybody's like, "See, there it is." It's going to be a very subtle thing. It was so subtle that I even almost fell for it. Listen, I ain't nobody. I get that. But I'm somebody in Christ. I can say that. Christ liveth in me. But my point was this. I didn't see it.
Amen.
It's a pretty neat dream. We'll be led by the Holy Spirit, and but I'm convinced it's going to be very subtle and very sneaky.
Amen. Yeah, I believe that too. I believe it's going to be something you might even believe. You know, like a vaccine. For goodness sake. All right. Who's next? You're not pointing to anybody, Julia. There's nobody to your left. Go ahead, Claire.
I just had this thought while Andrew was talking that we should pray not to be tricked. And if only Eve had prayed that prayer. You know, we shouldn't be beguiled. But what caused that? It was pride. And so with Andrew's prayer about not being tricked, I want to add that we should pray for the cessation and the rebuking of pride over our loved ones and the ones that belong to him. Because that's the only reason why you couldn't accept what people like us have to say is because of pride. So I would like to pray that now. Thank you, Father, for having a perfect, complete word and for giving us the beginning and the end so clearly and so vividly. We know where we've come from. And we know you've had mercy on us. And Father, we know where we're going to glory with you through your Son. And Father, I bind up these spirits of pride, free-floating pride that is coursing through every medium all over the world right now, every high thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of the Lord. I rebuke you, pride. Amen. Because where there is no pride, there can be no deception. But when there is pride, there is always deception. Every idol, every stronghold needs to be broken. And Father, we know that day is here with Christ in us, but we know that it's going to be manifested in a mighty way through your appointed man child. And we praise your holy name, Father. We know your time is perfect and we will endure to the very end. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Get rid of this pride, Lord. Okay, Greg, go ahead. There's too much going on in the chat room. I'm gonna have to shut that thing down. I know that.
I'm just a little concerned with the heavy sigh. Okay, Greg, go ahead. and look, sorry, the track has sort of changed a little bit, but yeah, when Andrew, you were saying that, you know, we pray that we don't get deceived by the medical profession. Personally, I'm not overly concerned about that because I really have, they're no longer gods to me anyway. But, and as we've discussed earlier, they say some things and they have reports as if they have authority. And I think we have demonstrated in testimonies that they may have education, they may have instruments. And this is the same for the weatherman that, Marilyn was mentioning about. But they don't stand on the glassy sea and declare the word of God. That said, with regards to deception, I put a couple of verses or referred to a couple of verses in chat that I think in 1 Corinthians 2, I think at the end, we have the mind of Christ. And two, we, in James 1, it says we can ask for wisdom and we'll get it from the generous giving God that we have. That said, wherever it comes from, there will be attempts to deceive even the very elect. We know that. I don't know. But one thing I don't think we should ever do is fear being deceived. I'm just going to report on a dream, not my dream, but a friend had a bit over 2 years ago now when this whole coronavirus thing came up. And I think it's pertinent, particularly for those who may have watched the Watch the Water recording.
Did you freeze up? What'd y'all do to us? I'm moving. Anybody else not moving? Other than Greg? Okay. Praise the Lord. So it's not me, it's Greg. Well, he made some good points. It's they're going to try to hide it. Best thing to do is just, where'd he go?
I was thinking, I read in Daniel that what's going to happen too, and I'll have to find, that's what I thought about the passage I want to put in there. They're going to try to change the times in the seasons. They're going to try to make it look like it's not the end times too. Let me find that passage. That's pretty poignant. So that's a deception also from the beast. So that's from Satan to deceive people, make them think, no, this is not the end times.
Amen. Yeah, Julie.
I think what Andrew was saying about the whole deception thing, I think all of us have been deceived at, you know, in many things, you know, until the Lord showed us where we were in error. You know, we were deceived about, you know, what the truth was until the Lord gave us ears to hear. So I think our part is to keep praying for people to come into the light. And there's there was a teaching that I did lately on the earnestness for prayer, the fervency for earnest prayer right now. And there was a really great dream revelation in there about praying the truth into people, praying the word into people, praying the light into people, that we're used to pray the scriptures into people. And we're living in such, you know, crazy, obviously crazy times, you know, we're at the end. And it's one of the dreams that was shared in there was, you know, the Lord was showing this person that these people were about to fall into hell, essentially. And they were kind of blurred to her vision, like who they were, but he gradually started showing her that they were people that she actually knew, acquaintances. And he was urging her, it's like, will you pray? Will you pray for them? Now will you pray? When you get the revelation, this is how serious. It's like God really wants us to pray and intercede for the lost, for people who don't know how to pray for themselves because they just don't know. And we can definitely pray that people not be deceived, but God is sovereign even over the deception. He won't, his elect, all of his elect are coming into the kingdom. Jesus said so in John chapter 6, that he will lose none of his own. All that the Father gives me will come unto me, and all that come to me I will not cast out. So we've all been deceived, you know, but by the grace of God, we're sitting here today and we have truth, and we need to pray that truth into other people and for them. And just wanted to encourage you. It's like, don't worry about being deceived or people being deceived. God is sovereign over deception, everybody. And just keep praying and believing. Amen.
I want to thank you for bringing that out about praying. I was just reading in one of Murray's books. I think it was, one of his praying books. And he was at a convention and he asked, these were pastors and preachers and evangelists and all of this, people that were in leadership in the church. And the questions that was asked was, how many people in here spend an hour, just an hour a day praying? One guy raised his hand. Then he asked, he said, how many people in here spend 30 minutes praying? Now we're talking about people in leadership. And there was just a handful of people that raised their hand. And then it got down to just 5 minutes. And there was a number of people that raised their hands. And it was amazing to him that these people in leadership were not praying to God for whatever, you know, any more than 5 minutes a day. And I think that's, if I ask his hand, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to see the hand. but it convicted me. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It convicted me because, you know, we get distracted when we shouldn't. The biggest thing, like Julie was talking about, for us is to pray for the lost, pray for the people that God has placed on your heart to come to Him, and then, you know, believe that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. But pray. We have to pray. Pray for each other here. Anyway, I just thought I'd let that out because I know that I don't pray enough, and I'm just going to confess that, Father. I repent of that. Lord, push it in my heart to pray more for the things that you want me to pray for and not for, you know, just want. I want you to be satisfied with my prayer life, Lord. All right, Marilyn or Barry.
Yeah, back to the being fooled into taking the mark. If we look at Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 6, the heading over this is the messages of the three angels. I'm going to read this. This is quite a bit, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. I think it'll help. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Everybody gets this, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now here's the verse that I think is important. This is Revelation 14:9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So that's, I think that, you know, sounds to me like everybody gets this message from the angels, you know, flying over, and they're saying, don't take the mark, don't do it. And people are going to know what it is because they've been told. I think that's what this is saying.
Okay, I have something to say, but I'm going to let Michelle go ahead. Michelle.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up with what you were saying, Michael, about that story, I think, from Andrew Murray. What I really, and how it applies to this, what I really like about Andrew Murray and that story is he was saying that if you don't learn to trust God for your prayer life, like you do for salvation and everything else, then you're never going to attain it. And your problem is you're living essentially by your own. You're making resolutions. You're saying, hey, I'm going to do this. And you're not doing it because you haven't learned that He is going to enable you to do that. Like He does every single thing. He is the vine and we are the branches. And I think, like, in the context of this whole beast thing, what's the mark of the beast, as in everything in the end times, yeah, I think the people that truly have not come to faith in Christ for everything, like, to really accept and not move off of, He is my sin bearer, end of story, and He is my righteousness, and everything that I do is fruit that comes by Him and through His Spirit and power. He writes His laws on our mind and in our hearts. I love that. I think Jeremiah, that Old Testament, foretelling of the new covenant. And so I think that's how we're going to get through the end times. One of the, if not the main way, is that we have come to believe I am a new creation in Christ and everything comes from Him, whether it's prayer life, which me too, I have to also increase in my just intercessions and prayers. Absolutely. And I pray for all of us and myself too now, with the Holy Spirit, just for more of a burden. You know, we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah on the planet. and the things that are happening. And I know we are grief stricken in many ways, but to take that, take us to our knees and get a hold of God. Because with the things going on all around us, you know, it's just, it's so dark. And it seems like we would naturally just be on our faces, you know, easily with what we see in the world happening and the really the horror of a lot of it. But may God, you know, anoint us all and fill us with the spirit of prayer and supplication in a fresh way, I pray, even tonight. And I thank you, Father, for doing it. I thank you.
Amen. I hooked my faith up for years, and I believe it's so. Everybody's going to get to praying. All right, Andrew, go ahead, brother. Welcome back, Greg.
Yeah, the reference Barry just read talks about creation there. And we got a wonderful creation verse in Ephesians 2 and 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. This also speaks to what Michelle just said. So we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, upon good works, which God afore hath ordained that we should walk in. He didn't want any mark in the beast back in Jesus' day either. We don't want it now. Praise God.
Amen. Amen, Andrew. Yeah, Marilyn. Thank you, Barry.
Just a couple of things. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, it talks about because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Let me start over. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And I've been thinking and praying a lot in my prayer time, binding up for ourselves in the body, but also for those that the Lord wants to bring in, the spirits of deception, self-deception, propaganda, misinformation, disinformation. There's just so much stuff out there. It's like, how do you even know what's true? But in Psalm 91, it says, the truth is our shield and our buckler. And I've really been thinking about that, and I pray about that. Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the word, Jesus is the word made flesh, and the sum of his words is truth. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And to me, that's our refuge. You know, we're not going to be deceived. Anybody that is abiding in Christ, because he is the truth, and the word is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the truth. And we're under the umbrella of Father's grace. If we have faith in Father's grace, we're not going to be deceived. But also, you know, we can pray for people that they will have a love of the truth. And you know, boy, we've just never lived in such a time like this, but we were born for such a time as this. And so I think we're all just kind of learning and growing, and I think there's so much to pray about that, you know, we probably don't always pray the same things because there's just so many slices of the pie, you know, to be covered in prayer. But that is something that the Lord has really been putting on my heart, is the love of the truth, so that we and others will not be deceived. So that's all.
Amen. Thank you, Marilyn. Okay, anyone else? How many of you think you could pray too much? Let me see your hands. Don't raise your hand, Joe. Joe D. No, you can't, brother. Amen. Amen. That's right, George. God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. All right. Anybody got anything else? Let's see what Greg's saying here. Friend just posted this verse to me. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can take new courage, for we can hold on to his promise with confidence. This confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain of heaven into God's inner sanctuary. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Debbie.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, all we've been talking about tonight is about God ministering to people and moving people, drawing them to himself. I am just so blessed. I was talking to Victor tonight, and God is doing such a work in her. Gosh, I'm just seeing him answer prayer. And I had a talk with her about her. She's coming here for the pot blessing, and Satan's already trying to stop that. You all agreed, along with UVM here, local here, that God would help her get free from that court stuff. And he did that. But now the enemy has come back again. And, or, you know, maybe it's God. I'm not quite sure. I know he's sovereign. He's a sovereign one. Satan isn't. So it's probably the Lord using this to cause her to rise up more. But somehow the appellate court has gotten involved, wanting to overturn the judge's decision to dismiss her thing. Dismiss all the charges against her. And then I'm trying to be quick about this. 2 years before this all happened, 4 years ago, 2 years before that, she almost was charged with a misdemeanor and had with one of her children. And she wasn't charged that because DCFS got involved, you know, Children's Services. And we had to go there for a month after we first moved here to be supervision for her and the children. And that kept that off her record. Okay. But now they had 3 years to actually put the charges on to charge report. There's still 3 years. And so 2 years passed before this other big deal came up, been going on for 4 years. And there's still another year. And so they're going for that. Someone's going for that to try to press charges for this, just a misdemeanor, but it's just, you know, I know God wants her to stand in faith and trust him. And so she says, well, this might just squash she wants to move down here too. And God's just doing so much in her. She's really trusting the Lord in all of this. And I was talking to tonight on the phone about the word and about how what we hear here and how, you know, we're learning here and not just here, all over the world, there's people God is working in giving the deep truths of the word too. And I said, we're learning we're learning the Bible the way many churches are not giving it, and they're not learning it. And she sees that. And I said, we learn these things and learn these truths and try to share them. They call you a cult. And she was very sorry to me. She apologized. She said, I know, Mom, and I'm sorry because she was really against me. I'm sorry that I've done that. She's just so apologetic. And she just so wants to, get in the word and know his truths. And God just did such a mighty move in her. I was just so amazed tonight. I was able to share with her about God's vaccine and about what the ark is. And this is the tribulation that's coming upon us now. And how she can be protected by abiding in the ark, who is Jesus. And she's just all ears. And if you knew how she was before, I mean, she screamed at me and Denny how she hated us. And it was just, she's the one, though, that's coming up into the Lord now. She's the one that God is getting. She knows that she needs to be humbled, and she knows she had to repent. And those others who just think they're okay, I'm just so blessed. So I want prayer that just now you're going green. I as you do, we pray that God is going to really bless her and favor her, and all this stuff is going to be done with again. And but she'll just stand strong and trust in God, knowing that He's going to do it and set her free from all this stuff finally. But she's excited to come here in May, and so really praying that to be a blessing for her and protection as she drives. She's driving with three kids. So anyway.
Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for your humbling victory and bringing her in, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that this is a trial and she's going through it with faith. And we thank you, Father, that yes, she will be here in May. And Lord, I ask that you place it in the heart to join us here on the fellowship. And I think it'll help her immensely. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the work, Lord, that you're doing in Victory, changing her heart, humbling her, and placing it in her to stay in the Word, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the work that you're doing in her, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. All right. Yeah, Greg. Think you can make it this time?
I never left. I mean, I never moved. Sorry, Deb, just refresh me. Your daughter's name again. I'd like to pray as well. That's okay.
Victory, V-I-C-T-O-R-I.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. Lord, I just want to, well, join with all of us, those of us who have children and those who even have grandchildren. They are a heritage from the Lord. I just want to, Lord, if I may, speak your word to these forces that are operating through these court systems. These children are a heritage to Deb from the Lord. They are her posterity. And in the Lord's name, I want to tell you, get your cotton picking hands off them. All those forces that were looking to grab them, Lord, I would ask you to send angels with rods to wrap them over the knuckles and get their claws off Victory and off her daughters and off Deb's family, well, children, sorry, and Deb's family. More than that, Lord, that your spirit would continue to work with Victory, as I no doubt whatsoever the prayers of Deb and have gone up to you over the years, along with Dana, her husband. They've gone up to you, and I've no doubt he even pleads now before your throne. And you do not ignore our prayers, so that you would draw Victory and her children deep, deep into relationship with you. And that all your purposes will not be thwarted. Amen.
Oh, my. Thank you, Greg. That was a wonderful prayer, and I believe it with you.
I'm a little bit angry about what's going on.
I can tell.
Corrupt.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We believe it. We know it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Before we close out, has anybody else got a prayer request before we go? Yes, Claire. Amen, Sonia.
I would really appreciate it if you could keep me in your prayers today and tonight, Saints. I'm having a chat with my vaccine maker sister in a little bit. We haven't spoken for a while. This is not the sister that cut me out. This is another sister. And I just would pray for wisdom and for love and for truth and for a soft heart and for me to listen and for me to be weak and for me to be humble and for me to be kind and forgiving and long-suffering, and really just to be Jesus. Yep, she does that for a living.
Say a vaccine maker? talking about the jab?
The Lord knows how to pick him.
Oh, well, not the COVID. She doesn't make COVID vaccines.
She would love to.
She would like to, yes, but she's makes malaria vaccines and all sorts of other things.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, Lord, we will. What's her name? Can you say it? Okay. It's a friend. Friends like that, you don't need no enemies, do you? Just saying. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we will pray for her. We're going to see a change in her. Is everybody going to pray for this lady? Okay, yes, me too. I'm going to be praying for her. We're going to see a change. Okay, got it. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for another wonderful night. It's been a very productive night. I thank you, Father, that these prayers that have been raised up to you are being answered even as we speak right now. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful people here. Protect them, guide them, give them wisdom, give them truth. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for all the work you're doing in us and leading us and guiding us into this wilderness. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear? Yeah?